Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville. You can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And just a reminder, as always, please like, rate, review, subscribe, leave a comment, say nice things about the show, whatever the platform that you're watching or listening to the show allows you to do, please go ahead and do that. That supports the show in a very small way. That's all I ask of you guys. That, use me as your realtor and support our sponsor, which I'll get to here in a few minutes. And if you guys could do that, I would really appreciate it. A few years ago, I did a podcast episode on overpricing listings, and I referenced this recently in a recent episode. It was a really important study that I did, important for myself. I'm not saying it was important for anyone else, but for me, it was really important because the conventional wisdom has always been among realtors and real estate professionals that you never want to overprice a listing, right? If it's worth $300,000, you don't want to price it for $325,000. And that, you know, frequently has been something that people just say, right? And so I heard people say that over and over again, but I wanted to actually see what the data said. Does the data support this claim? And so I did a big analysis on data in the greater Greenville area, and I concluded that on average, homes that were overpriced when they were initially listed, and I defined it as overpriced by $15,000 or more, on average sold for $12 a square foot less than homes that were not overpriced to that degree, or that were either priced appropriately or even underpriced. So people conventionally, you know, a lot of people out in the public, they think, well, if I list for 315 as opposed to 300, I will end up getting more than had I listed for 300. Well, that conventional wisdom among the general population is simply not true unless 315 was not an overpriced amount, right? If the home is worth 300 and you list it by at 325, you're going to end up hurting yourself. You're going to end up selling it for less than had you listed it for 300 or 315. Now I want to revisit this topic from a different perspective, specifically from the perspective of listings that already have appraisals. Now, sometimes listings come on the market or come back on the market with an appraisal in hand. For instance, just to give an example, a seller might have recently refinanced and they might have a copy of their appraisal, or perhaps they paid for an appraisal due to the home having unique features, or perhaps they have a copy and appraisal from a buyer who attempted to purchase their home but then backed out. Now, I need to caveat a few things with regard to appraisals. When a seller has an appraisal, they and you have to keep several things in mind. First off, appraisals are extremely subjective. I know if you're an appraiser, you're listening to this, maybe you don't want to hear that, but I'm telling you, everyone else in the world believes that appraisers and appraisals are subjective. And obviously there are certain standards that all appraisers have to abide by, but when it comes to the final valuation, that tends to be extremely subjective in terms of what that valuation comes back as. I've had, as an example, multiple times in my career where I've had two appraisals on the same home done within a few weeks of each other with no material differences to the home during that period of time, and had those two appraisals come back in some cases $30,000 apart, in some cases $40,000 apart, and the biggest discrepancy I've ever had was $50,000 departure between two appraisals taken within a very short period of time on the same property. So appraisals are very subjective. Additionally, appraisals don't really take the current state of the market into account as much as they do what has happened in the past. Now, it's not to say that they don't take the current state of the market into account at all. I'm not saying that. But the main emphasis of an appraisal is comparing the subject property to other properties that have sold the past year, maybe even sooner than the past year if possible. And of course, that's a lot different than what buyers care about. We just talked about this in the last episode. Buyers care more about what's currently on the market than they do what's sold the past year. Now, buyers will look at what's sold the past year, and they'll look at comps, and they'll assess whether a home is overpriced. But at the end of the day, the homes that they're looking at are the homes that are currently on the market, not homes that sold a year ago. Couple more points here. Appraisals generally have more value for lenders than they do for buyers or sellers. I've had my more detailed buyers sometimes even get upset at appraisers for giving a home the same value as what the contract on that home was, because they felt like the appraiser wasn't really doing his or her job, right? And coming up with a precise amount independent of the contract price. So what I'm saying is, let's say the contract is for $300,000 and the appraiser just kind of rubber stamps that and says, you know, I'm just going to give the value for this home a $300,000 value. That's a very common practice. And yet I've had some clients that have been upset by that they feel like, well, an appraiser should be more specific and should be, is it, I mean, surely in his or her mind, it's not worth exactly what the contract price is. That seems bush league. But the reality is that appraisers do have the contract in the back of their mind when they're coming up with a value. And quite frankly, I think that they should. I don't think that that is a flaw. I think that that is a good part of the process, because they typically don't want to blow up a deal. And most people buying or selling real estate don't want the deal blown up. And so, you know, if an appraiser priced a home $5,000 less than the contract, when they are simultaneously using very subjective metrics, like saying this home is, the subject property is updated $25,000 more than the comps that they're comparing it to. I mean, that's all very subjective. How do you know for a fact that one home is truly updated $25,000 more than another? By the way, I just realized I need to turn my phone on silent. Making a rookie mistake over here. Took me getting a notification on my phone to realize I had made that mistake. Apologies for that. But if you're just kind of, and of course, they're not just ballparking these numbers. When they're making adjustments to the comps, you know, they don't just pluck, you know, $25,000 out of the air. At least the good ones don't. But there's still so much subjectivity to that in determining, okay, this home with all these different updates, it's, you know, it looks like it's updated about $25,000. When you're already putting that level of subjectivity into it, and then after doing all of that, you come within $5,000 of the contract price on a $500,000 home, why not just go ahead and just say, you know what, we're close enough, we're in range, I'm just going to give it the same value as what the contract is worth. I feel like that process, I don't feel like that there is a problem that I specifically have with an appraiser having that process. And I've had a lot of conversations with appraisers over the years explaining to me that process, and it does make sense. That being said, another caveat that I think is worth mentioning about this is that some appraisers, in my opinion, have weird rules in their head that the rest of the real estate market simply doesn't have. So for instance, most of Greenville appraisers I've communicated with automatically consider basement square footage. And by the way, a basement is, the way I understand it, the way appraisers deem it, if any part of the house, right, is, or any part of a section of a house is 1 inch or greater below grade, it is a basement. So that's a pretty extreme metric, right? I've got a split level home that I use for an Airbnb, and one, just the front elevation of the bottom portion of the split level home is a few feet below grade. The rest of the elevations all around the house are not below grade. And because of that, that's considered a basement. And here's what has happened every time I've gotten that home appraised. The appraisers have given that square footage 50% value. In other words, if the home is considered, generally speaking, the above grade portion of the home is considered to be worth $200 a square foot, then the basement square footage will be considered $100 a square foot. Nothing else matters. It doesn't matter if the basement is way nicer than the rest of the house. They're going to automatically use that 50% rule. And now, I've had some appraisers say, well, you shouldn't do that. That is not, you shouldn't just automatically do that for every single house. But I'm telling you, I have had 4 to 5 appraisers say, yeah, every single basement home, I just automatically give it 50% square footage. And I've had some argue with me over this. Some have said, well, I'll just say this. I've had an argument with some appraisers, one of which blocked me on Facebook because I guess I think he didn't like my political views. I had a discussion with one appraiser in particular about this, a long discussion where I was like, okay, explain to me how this makes sense, right? Because you're trying to assess the market, the real estate market. And undeniably, if we're talking about the real estate market, again, we're not talking about comps, which is more what appraisers are focused on. But if we're talking about the real estate market, just in general, buyers and sellers of real estate, buyers typically prefer a basement home any day of the week over a two-story home, right? Basement homes are just, they're rare in Greenville. We don't have a ton of them. And they typically are very popular. People would much prefer to have a basement than a second or third story on their home. Again, appraisers, that's subjective. I understand that. There's not data necessarily that you can pull that says that. But when I said that to one appraiser, his response was, well, even if that's true, it doesn't take into account the fact that basement homes are cheaper to build than two-story homes. And that, I didn't even know what to say about that. Because, I'm sorry, I've talked to a ton of contractors about basement homes, and there is not one that you can find in the Greenville area. I can promise you. You find me one that will build you a basement home for cheaper than they will build a two-story home. That is a complete myth. Basement homes are harder to build, they're more expensive, and you've got to waterproof them. You've got so much more that you have to do with the foundation. It makes no sense that it would cost less, and therefore we're going to appraise it for less. It's a complete myth, and you know, I hate it when people use talking points like that. And I've already referenced one basement home. I've lived in three basement homes over the years. I'm actually recording this from my basement. This is where I record all of my podcasts. And I've seen this dynamic play out in real times many times in my life because I've had multiple appraisals for multiples of these homes. And every single time, I get a 50% value on the square footage for the below grade portion of the house. So I'm not just making this up. But these are the sorts of weird rules that sometimes appraisers will have in their head that don't necessarily make sense to anyone else, but these are the rules that they are operating by, and I don't mean that to insult any appraisers. I'm not calling out anyone in particular. I'm just saying this is what I've seen happen with a lot of appraisers over the years. In my opinion, the good ones factor in more than just, you know, this is my rule, my one-size-fits-all rule, and there are a lot of good appraisers that do that. A lot of good ones that I've talked to. And maybe some that I'll get on the show at some point in the future. But the reality is that you have conversations with some of these people and you will find that some of them have some kind of odd rules that they follow by. I've seen this happen multiple times. And you know who else has seen this happen multiple times? Stephen Piper with Piper Insurance Group, who is who I call anytime I want to vent about basement appraisals being lower than I think they should be. Because he has had that very experience as well with his home, or at least I don't know if he still lives there, but we had some lengthy conversations about this in the past. But Stephen is also who I call anytime I want to get an insurance quote, and Piper Insurance Group is the official sponsor of the Selling Greenville podcast. They can help you with your home, auto, or umbrella insurance. They're independent as an insurance agency, so they can quote multiple different insurance companies and bring back the best rate that they can find between all of the companies that they work with. They're licensed in more than just South Carolina. You can also use them in North Carolina, more than South Carolina. You can also use them in North Carolina and Georgia, and they can help you with investment properties, not just primary residences. So if you need to insure flips, rentals, ground up new construction, even commercial properties, they can help you with all of those things. Their contact, as well as mine, is in the show notes. So if you need insurance, home, auto, umbrella, please go to the show notes for this show and find Piper Insurance Group's information and give them a call today for a free quote. All right, so now that we have all the appraisal caveats out of the way, let's get to the matter at hand. I decided to see what I could find, for starters, in the multiple listing service on listings that reference that they had appraisals done at some point in the process of listing or relisting a home. It's not easy to find them, and I'm sure I didn't find all of them, but I found about 37 listings, specifically in Greenville County. There was a reason why I was doing this, not just on the greater Greenville area, but just Greenville County. I'm not going to get into the weeds on that because it's kind of irrelevant for the purposes of the show. But I found about 37 in Greenville County for the past year that had referenced appraisals in their listing. Now, some of these put the appraisal in the listing itself or put the amount of the appraisal in the listing, especially if it was a home that was listed for less than it was appraised for, right? That's a good selling point. You say, hey, this home appraised for $400,000, but we're listing it for $350,000. Well, that's a good way to market a house. Others simply said that the listing was priced based on the appraisal. You know, they would use some kind of a language, some kind of language like that, but without any more details. I would say, again, because it's great to be able to market a property as being listed below the appraised value, I think it's safe to assume that those that wouldn't say what the appraised value was and just said that it was priced based on the appraisal, that it was either priced at or above what the appraised value was. I think that it's pretty safe to say that. And then there were a handful of listings that were listed. They included the appraisal or whatever, but still listed it above what the appraised value was. Those were not very many. Here's what I did. I went ahead and took this data and analyzed it in a variety of ways, and I had ChatGPT. You guys know that I use ChatGPT, I wouldn't say on a daily basis, but for sure on a multiple times per week basis. I decided to have ChatGPT create a neat little graphic for me, which I am going to share with you guys. If you're watching on YouTube, and if you're not watching on YouTube, that's okay. If you're just listening, I'm going to explain everything to you guys anyway. All right. So on YouTube, I have the graphic pulled up. ChatGPT called it appraised listing analysis, which is great. And so we're going to, there's 9 different bar graphs on here, and I'm going to start with the top right corner and just kind of go through this. Let's start with the total number of properties, right? I already said there were 37 properties total. How did this break down? 2 of them listed their home for above what it was appraised for. 10 of them were unknown. Those are the ones that I'm going to assume was either right at the appraised value is what they were listed for, or they were probably listed for slightly above what the appraised value was. And then 25 of the 37 listed the home below the appraised value that they had. So conventionally speaking, people typically, at least, two-thirds of these are listing, if they have an appraisal, they're listing it below the appraised value. And generally speaking, I think that's a good strategy, right? Because again, if you're trying to market a home and you have an appraisal, if you're going to market that you have the appraisal, there needs to be something that you're making attractive to the buyer, right? A buyer doesn't want to buy a house for more than it's appraised for. Nobody wants to do that. It feels like overspending. And so generally speaking, it's a good idea. If you have that appraisal, you probably need to price it at least a little bit below that amount. And for sure, you don't want to price it above the appraised value if you're going to reference that you got an appraisal recently. I would say if I have a client that gets an appraisal on a house and they want to list it above the appraised value, I'm going to show them data on why that's a bad idea. But for sure, when we market the property, if we do list it for above the appraised value, I am for sure not going to reference the appraisal in the listing because it's self-defeating, right? At some point, the question is going to come in from an agent, well, what did it appraise for? Well, a little bit more than what we listed it for, maybe a different appraisal will come in better. That's just very weak. People don't like that, and I don't think that that's a particularly good marketing strategy. I know that's not a good marketing strategy. All right, next on here, I want to look at, so we know which properties, how many of the properties listed for above or below or unknown in relation to the appraised value. So what was the average, or in this case, the median of how high or low they listed it? Well, for the 2 that listed for above the appraised value, The median was it was $20,000 above the appraised value. Obviously, the unknowns are unknown. For the 25 that listed below the appraised value, the median was $8,500 below the appraised value. So if you're looking on YouTube, the graph is a little bit awkward because it's got the higher number on the bottom and the lower number at the top, but that's because the belows were the greater number out of these. So most of the people that we had the data on that were listing their homes below the appraised value, based on the median, they were listing it about $8,500 below what the appraisal came in at. Let's look at the percent average list price reduction. So what I mean by this, and I also have the median for this, this is for these homes, right, for these three categories, homes that were listed above the appraised value, unknown, which is probably slightly above the appraised value or maybe right at, or below the appraised value, did they have to reduce their price on average and by how much, okay? And so the homes that listed for above the appraised value on average, they had to reduce their price by 5.4% over the course of their listing. For those that are in the unknown category, so probably slightly above, they had to reduce their price over the course of their listing by 3.15%. And for those that were below the median, on average, they had to reduce the price at some point by 2.8%. Let's look at the median real quick here. The same number, but just the median instead of the average. The median was exactly the same. Again, we only had two properties, so that makes sense. For those that listed their home above the appraised value, 5.04%. And then the unknowns were 1.27% price reduction on median for those that were probably at or slightly above the appraised value. And those that were below the appraised value had to reduce their price on median very marginally, only by 0.75%. So what does this say? We've got very clear steps so far. The four charts we've looked at, four graphs we've looked at, steps going up and now steps going down. Basically, the conclusion that you can draw from this is you can't fool the market, right? The market and a good appraisal is reflecting the market in some way or another. You can't fool the market, right? If you overprice a home, the market is going to figure that out. And as a result, the homes that were priced above the appraisal by average or median, they had to reduce the price by 5%. And the lower the list price was in comparison to the appraised value, the less of a price reduction had to happen. And so, like I said, the median price reduction for those that listed below the appraised value was less than 1%, which is great because right now, I'm not sure if I'm going to do a show on this. I'm thinking about it, but right now, there are some records being set on price reductions, records being set on contracts falling through. There's a lot happening right now in that regard. So you really, it's really helpful to know, okay, those that are taking the appraisal into consideration and listing it on average $8,500 below the appraised value, they're not having to reduce the price to the extent that all of the others are having to do. Let's look at the fifth graph here, and this is looking at all these properties and how many of them sold or are currently under contract, right? I can't extrapolate whether these will all sell if they're under contract, but we can at least look at the data. So of the ones that that listed above the appraised value, again, it was only two of them. One of them never sold, and the other one did, so 50%. Of those that were in the unknown category, so probably slightly above the appraised value, 60% of those sold or went under contract. And for those that listed below the appraised value, 84% sold or are currently under contract. And so again, we're seeing, it's just very distinctive, very striking step patterns. And I didn't manipulate this data. I always let the data say what it says. And if there are any surprises that come out of the data, you guys that are frequent listeners of the show, you know that I'm willing to admit if there's a surprise in the data, happy to admit that. And there's no surprise in this data. It's exactly what you would expect it to be. Let's look at the percent of properties sold at or above list price. Okay, so if you listed for 300,000, Did it sell for 300 or more, or did it sell for less than 300? The above and unknown categories. So those that did not price their homes below the appraisal, 0% of them sold at or above list price. That is a really, and by the way, the original list price, not the reduced list price. Striking number, not a single one of the 12 homes that listed at or above the appraised value ended up selling at or above the list price. Again, you can't fool the market. On the flip side, those that were priced below the appraised value, 43.75% of them sold at or above list price. So again, what strategy do you want to use? Do you want to have a strategy that involves price reductions and then eventually selling below list price by quite a bit? Or do you want to have a strategy that where you might actually sell it above list price, and odds are you'll probably end up getting more than going the other direction? Let's look at average days on market for the homes that sold above or the homes that were listed above list price or above. Man, I'm struggling today, guys. I'm sorry. The homes that sold or that listed. I'm going to get through this at some point. The homes that listed above the appraised value, on average, their days on market was 122.5. The next category, the unknowns, the likely slightly above or at list price, average days on market, by the way, which is the time between when it's listed and when it goes under contract, 85.9 days. And for the homes that were listed below the appraised value, 59.96 days. So again, very straight line number. The graph is just a step pattern. If you want to sell quickly, it's very simple. You've got to list it below the appraised value if you've got an appraisal in hand. Very simple. What about the average price difference? And this is the final graphic that I'm going to be looking at. You see this on YouTube if you're watching, but this is the final one I'm going to be looking at here. The average price difference from list to sold. Okay, so look at if it listed for $300,000 and sold for $280,000, the number would be minus $20,000 would be the average, would be the difference between list price to sold. So on average, those that were in the that listed above the appraised value sold for $30,000 less than what it was listed for. Those in the unknown, probably slightly above the appraised value category, sold for $17,233 less than what it was listed for originally. And those in the those that had priced below the appraised value sold for, on average, only $8,162 less than the list price. And I did factor in seller concessions into all of these numbers, by the way. So I factored in whether sellers were paying a portion of buyer closing costs or offering some other concession in one way, shape, or form into all of these numbers, just to make it a true apples to apples sort of number. So long story short, as I've already said multiple times, you cannot fool the market. The market knows. The market knows if you have overpriced a home or not. It's not going to be fooled. It's not going to be hoodwinked. And here's what happens. If you overprice your home, and this is just another way of looking at it, it's going to take longer. You're going to have to reduce your price. You're going to be less likely to sell, and you're going to be at risk of selling for less than had you simply priced it appropriately, or even perhaps a little bit less than what it's worth from the get-go. And so again, this is, to me as a realtor, I get paid a percent based on a percent of the sold price. I want all of my listings to sell. You know, I would like them all to sell for millions upon millions, right? But my strategy of how I price a home, it can sometimes be non-intuitive to the general populace because they think, well, we need to price it as high as possible to get the most value. But that's not how this works, because there are other dynamics going on where people are looking at these homes, and if they see a home that appears overpriced, they're not going to look at it. They're just going to ignore it. They're just going to wait. And then the listing stays on the market for a long time, and then price reductions happen, and then it gets stale, and then people start to think, oh, well, here's an opportunity. I could just make a lowball offer. And then after it's all said and done, you end up being way worse off than had you just priced it right from the get-go. So here's my plea to you guys. Whether you use me as your realtor or not, please price it right from the get-go. Use a realtor that is going to be honest with you about what your home is worth. Let me tell you, it is very awkward for me as a realtor when I'm talking to a prospective seller that overvalues their home. Because here I am, I've got data on my side, and I'm like, your home isn't worth $500,000. It's worth $450,000. And they're insistent. They're like, no, it's got to be worth $500,000. And their data is non-existent. It's based on vibes. Those can be very awkward conversations. I hate having those conversations. But I'm never going to put, avoidance of an awkward confrontation above telling my client or prospective client what is in their best interest. And generally speaking, what is in your best interest is to make sure that you don't overprice your listing, because you'll end up making less money and having more heartache in the long run. That's all I've got for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. My contact information is in the show notes. If you need a realtor that will price your home correctly, Piper Insurance Group, also their contact information is in the show notes. If you need a home, auto, or umbrella insurance company in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia. Please, if you enjoyed this content, subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. Leave a 5-star rating, kind review, like, comment, all of those good things. We will talk again next time.